What role does a dear ministry friend play in your ministry? This is Joel Maines, and I've been helping my father, David Maines, out on the podcast. We've been looking back at life, and I want to talk today, Dad, about how other ministries have influenced you and how that has changed your life. Karen is working on her book so that she can finish that up, and she'll be back when that is over. We had some really disturbing news about the passing of somebody that had a big influence on you. And I want to look at that with you today and take some time to reflect on how another minister had an influence on you.
Welcome to the Before We Go podcast, featuring Dr. David Maines and his son, Joel Maines. Here's David and Joel Maines.
Since our last taping, we had some news that was very sad and disappointing, the passing of a good friend of yours and a ministry that was very influential in your life. And I've seen you, this was very hard on you. This week has been a real hard week.
Yeah, still is.
Yeah, this was an unexpected death.
Many people probably know by now that Dr. Kippi Yohanan died. He was out walking early in the morning and was hit by a car. He was airlifted to a hospital. There was surgery and extensive injuries. And after they finished the surgery, they couldn't get his heart started again. And it's like the last thing you expect to hear. KP was probably a decade younger than I am. It just, in my world, with not having him around, it's just a huge vacuum. And I had often thought that when I die, because I'm older, I'd like to have KP do the funeral. Now that whole thing has changed, you know. So it's just, in my conversations, I'm on the edge of tears a lot. So we'll see if we can make it through. We went back into the archives, and I have a broadcast from October 6, 1983. That's over four decades ago.
Right. So we're talking four decades ago when we talk the archives. We're talking about radio archives with your radio broadcast, the Chapel of the Air, which was on stations all across the country. And many of those have been saved. You were probably one of the first people to give KP a platform. I think we want to assume that there are going to be some people who don't know this name. People who have listened to you for a while will. But tell people who a little bit who KP Yohanan was. First of all, he's from India.
I first met him as a young leader who stopped by the office. He was looking for people who could buy into his dream. And I think that's what will be revealed in this broadcast that we will listen to. I've shortened without opening and closing that we would normally have just to have the actual interview with him. He was a totally different person in India, but this broadcast will talk about his first invitation to me to go to India. So that'll give some background on him, all right?
Okay.
The Academy Award-winning film Gandhi has made many Americans more aware of the land of India. This visit in the Chapel of the Air, you will see India through the eyes of another national leader greatly burdened for his people. However, this man is a Christian. My name is David Maines, and I'm anxious, my friend, for you to meet KP Yohanan. He's the founder and director of Gospel for Asia, a growing mission organization now sponsoring over 800 national workers, most of them in his homeland. KP, it's good to have you in the Chapel of the Air. How long have you been a believer?
Ever since I was 8 years old.
That seems unusual for an Indian, in our minds anyway.
Yes, my great-grandparents became Christians from Hindu Brahmin homes, and my mother taught us children from our young age about Jesus, and I was privileged, greatly privileged, to know the Lord.
Yes, that's beautiful. Why was it you came over to the United States?
For me, at the age of 16, the Lord called me to preach, and for the following nearly 8 years, I spent my time throughout India and other Asian countries in the ministry. And in 1973, the Lord led me to come to the States to spend a few years in studies. And I was invited by some Christian leaders to come to this country.
Now, you spend most of your time over here now, and part of that is in raising support for the 800-some national workers who minister in your homeland and in several other countries. How in the world do you support that many people?
Well, it is rather easy. First of all, we do know beyond any doubt the Lord told us to do what we are doing. And to support these brothers, it make it easier when you realize it costs between $30 to $60 a month to support a native missionary full-time in many countries, like in India, in the villages. And as we share this, God raises his people in this country to become partners with us.
I'm talking with K.P. Yohanan of Gospel for Asia. Describe for us the needs of your people in India.
There are many needs, but the greatest need we have in India is a spiritual need. You know, there are 720 million people living in India. That is almost four times the number of people living in the United States or America. And there, 98% of the people of India are Hindus, Muslims, and belonging to heathen religions. They do not know Jesus Christ. And all the tragedies, the poverty, the darkness in the land of India directly can be attributed to the spiritual problem that exists in the country. And Jesus Christ is the only answer, and that is the greatest need. That, I believe, will give answer to all of the problems my nation has.
Now, people might question what you're saying, but I'm hearing you say even areas like poverty, those needs would be improved if people knew Christ.
Exactly. National Geographic reported 23% of all the food grown in India is eaten and destroyed by rats every year. Because of the reincarnation belief of the people, these creatures are not killed. There are no homes made in India for old people when they get old, but they have buildings built for old cows to live and give them shelter. So they cannot even eat the food that God gave to man. And I can go on tell you hours of facts like these that shows Satan has come to tear down, destroy and kill is clearly demonstrated in the land of India and countries like that. And you can take the whole United States and all the wealth in India. India will be poor in 6 months' time again. Only Christ can even begin to set them free from the bondage, and that is the only answer.
KP, I'm beginning to feel the intensity that I sense so many times when I'm around you, and I appreciate that coming out. You have very strong feelings about these matters, don't you?
I do. The reason is, for me, by nature, I'm a very tender-hearted person. I give them my clothes, I give my food, and I walked all over India 7 years and wept with my people and slept on the streets. And I'm convinced beyond any other thing in life that unless people of India, one by one, societies and states and nation come to Christ, they have no hope for this life nor the life to come. And this is the most plain truth of India.
KP, in 2 days, I travel with you, and we're going to be preaching together throughout India for, oh, about 3 weeks. Why did you invite me to go over with you?
You know, it's not our normal thing to do to invite American brothers to go to India or any other country. And it's for some time, almost 2 years, I felt, and our staff also felt, the Lord wanted us to invite you. And it's mainly because of knowing you and sensing God's authority that he has committed to you. I believed and I believe God is going to use you and your life in a very special way to minister to hundreds of these native brothers, to challenge them, to encourage them, and really tell them that they are not alone in this battle. The body of Christ here in the United States, the millions of friends you represent, really do care for the lost souls, and that your coming, I really believe, will have a great impact on their lives.
Now, these workers are all over India. Will they come and meet in one place?
Yes, we have on this trip two conferences arranged, missionary conference. One will be in North India, one will be in South. Of course, people will be traveling by trains and buses and other ways to get to these places. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you'll be translating for me.
Yes, in a few meetings I will be, and in others there are brothers that speak the native language, which I don't speak in that particular area because, you know, we got some 40-plus languages in India.
This will be a new experience for me. How can our Chapel of the Air people be supportive of us while we're away?
First of all, they can pray in the real sense. Set apart every day some time to pray. And I would encourage them to get a map of India or Asia and begin to pray for different states of India, and particularly pray that the Lord will really give you the words and the message as you share and minister with these men.
Now, we'll also be preaching some evangelism meetings.
Exactly. During the daytimes, we will have the conference itself with the workers, and the evenings, we will have what we call evangelistic crusade, both in South and North, where I do not know how many people gather, but almost 100% of the people gather will be Hindus and Muslims, very large gathering, and you'll be preaching.
Now, you've told me about your preaching times in North India where they've actually stoned you, and I've told you that if they start stoning me, you better say the right words very quickly.
Well, quite a few times I was beaten and stoned, and I think you will have a chance to at least watch some of the events. And our brothers, the body of Christ, in many places are going through persecution.
Yes.
And I hope you will not get beaten up so bad.
I'm believing that the Lord is going to be with us regardless of what happens, and I'm very much looking forward to going with you. You know, in the film Gandhi, the past history of your people in relationship to English-speaking individuals coming in is somewhat negative. Is that going to be a problem with me being there?
I don't think so, because, of course, you know, Gandhi portrays India in a good light, and Indian people at large are not as hostile to the Americans or English as many, you know, seems to think. And also, our time will be spent with the body of Christ, and these brothers see you as part of the body of Christ, and they accept you and receive you very well. And in the meetings, they are not unaccustomed to Westerners. So I do not think it's going to be a problem as such.
KP, what is the future for your land? It seems as though over here we almost are of a mindset that never very much is going to be done in India. The problems are so immense. Do you have bright hope in your heart for India?
I can only answer that by faith. In my own human mind, as I sit down and think, many nights I lay awake literally thinking and weeping over the situation. It seems so hopeless. But then inside me, I know by faith there is going to be a great, mighty move of the Holy Spirit. And people are desperately hungry for the truth all over India. And I believe, therefore, there's going to be millions coming to Christ like never before. And I believe it has already began in some places.
When I saw the film Gandhi, the actor reminded me so much of you and the burden that you have for your people. If I understand the country properly, there is a larger Christian percentage in the southern part of India than in the northern part. Is that correct?
This is true. For the whole India, we have less than 3% of the Christians, and 25% Christians are found in the state of Kerala, where I was born and raised.
That's in the south.
That is in the south, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're asking people in the Chapel of the Air family to pray for us while we're over there. What about the believers in India? Have they been in prayer for these meetings?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I just got a telephone call before I left on this trip from Dallas that some 18 Christian magazines are carrying the news about this very important conferences all through India that is going to believers. And all over the land, they are praying, and they already printed out literally tens of thousands of what they call the prayer cards and distributed through mail and by hand in churches for people to pray. So it's lots of prayer going on. And maybe it is good also, I mentioned here, that our friends here in the United States must pray earnestly. The Lord will help you and anoint you as you preach to the crowd in South India, the missionaries, that they will have a burden, a much greater burden, to go to North Indian states to preach the gospel. And that happened to be one of the purpose of the conference in South India.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thank you, my friend, for listening. I really wish you could be here in person to meet KP. However, I believe you pick up some of his deep feelings as he tells about his people just from his voice. Do please keep us in your prayers for these next 3 to 4 weeks.
I listen, and I have listened to that several times now, and it brings back so many memories to me. Actually, he was anticipating that I would be a blessing to people. I'd never traveled the world that much. Mm-hmm. And he had an influence on me because I realized the world was a lot bigger than the United States, or a lot bigger than the Western world. The whole of Asia was just incredible.
Yeah, and it's a world, of course, we didn't know about. Mm-hmm. So it's opening your mind and heart to a massive portion of the world that wasn't even on a radar.
Yeah, in fact, all the sermons that I prepared to preach over there, very quickly I realized these are not appropriate for where I am now. And I felt like a terrible failure. But at the same time, I also listened to him preach, and he did it through translators because not everybody speaks the same language in India. And what an incredible impact he had on these people. There were huge numbers of people who came. I remember the men sitting on one side, the women sitting on the other side. It was a large auditorium, but not like we would think of in the States. You know, it was all open air, so they were under shelter if it were rain. But
no chairs, no
benches usually.
Okay.
There were a few chairs, but not a lot. And I remember hearing him speak, and at a certain point I heard kind of a low rumbling thunder. And I thought, oh, it's going to rain. Then it stopped for a while, then it would come again. And then I realized this wasn't thunder. What it was as he was preaching, and I was hearing the English translation as other people heard translations, the people were groaning. Oh, it was like they were being injured in a way. Mm. They were under incredible conviction. And KP was preaching about the need that some of you give up your secure jobs, all of your future, and for the sake of the gospel, we need to take this message of Jesus all over India and all over Asia. And there was this groaning that was going on. And when he came to the end of his sermon, he gave an invitation, and people just streamed forward. It was unbelievable. I remember one man in the back hollering, and I asked the person next to me, what is he saying? And he said, "Help me, help me. My father is holding on to me. I have a wonderful job with the government, and I'm coming forward to be a volunteer to take the message of Jesus to the northern India."
And his father in the audience was holding on, didn't want his son to go forward.
Wouldn't let him go forward. And help me, he cried. You know, I'd never, ever imagine such a thing taking place. It was a profound experience for me. And I realized that this man had tremendous influence in India.
You're talking KP now.
KP, yeah. In fact, I never dreamed the influence that he had. Because I think, Joel, I tried to figure it out. I'd have to go into my diaries from way back. But I think I went with him 8 times to India. And each time I came back with an awareness of this being a world leader and me being very grateful.
And I think it's, to put it in context, of course, other cultures have their own authors, and you know, South America has their own authors and music stars and whatever. And sometimes you can think, well, this is no person's nobody because you don't know about them in the United States. And then you find out this person might be a massive movie star somewhere else around the world. And then this is kind of one of those instances where KP's influence in Asia was way bigger than anybody in the States could understand. You're really talking about kind of a Billy Graham kind of status. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's the level that he would be on in his setting. It was amazing to me. And even now, I couldn't in my imagination go back to those days before I was in India and saw the influence he had. You know, the Dalits are the poorest of the poor in India.
Yeah, the untouchables.
And he opened up places where all these kids, the offspring of the Dalits, could come and learn, because they had no way to get education, and love them and see leaders raised up. Actually, KP was Brahmin, which is the highest of the caste. You know, when he died, Modi, who is the head of all of India, sent his concerns and his regards. And that was true not only of India, because KP had this vision for all of Asia. And then he also had visions for other continents, like Africa had started works there. The huge hospital that he built and how there were more hospitals, you know, being built. It's just incredible. It's a life that you can't even get your mind around. And then to know that he's one of your closest friends, and then to hear that he died all of a sudden, it's overwhelming to me.
Yeah, and just to clarify, too, KP had come back from India and was walking, and there's the area around there doesn't have sidewalks. It was kind of walking, and appears there's still, we don't know all the details, but was hit by a driver. Those are the very difficult ways to get your head around sometimes, because you're thinking you have a window here that's how many seconds that those two are going to pass where the driver's not seeing him. And those are questions, as couldn't God have kind of timed that differently? Or, you know, so how do you deal with that personally?
I cry. We usually record these podcasts on Wednesdays. And it was a Wednesday that I heard that he had died. I immediately went to my desk and I thought, I need to write. I just need to write about this man. And I can share some of the words because I wanted to get it up. KP was controversial in some ways because he was a revolutionary in a lot of ways, a spiritual revolutionary. It's not long, but I can read some of what I wrote. I wrote, "It hasn't been a full day yet since being told the news that KP Johann died. As I sit at my desk and record my thoughts, I'm fighting back tears, since I'm still in shock. I believe I am one of the few who still called him KP. It's how he introduced himself some decades back when we first met. As a young man, he had asked for time to share his dream of seeing Asia reach for Christ. He was also convinced that the mission strategy needed to transition from Western missionary leadership to one of national converts taking on that role in the near future. What he excitedly talked to me about was later spelled out in detail in his groundbreaking book, Revolution in World Missions. He told me that he called his embryonic mission Gospel for Asia. Why don't you call it Gospel for India? I suggested, sensing that his choice of name sounded a bit grandiose. He pushed back hard, explaining that his calling was bigger than just one country, even though his India homeland was soon to become the most populated nation in the world, even surpassing China. Before his death, he had characteristically added a second continent, Africa, where his thinking and actions had once again taken on significant impact. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his 12 that his job was to take his Kingdom of God message to all parts of the world. How overwhelmed they must have felt. But that's what they did. KP was up for that same kind of challenge, and what he accomplished on behalf of his Lord was nothing short of mind-boggling. I consider myself fortunate to have known this man for a span of decades. So in a few words, here is how I might describe him to someone who didn't have that privilege. He was a remarkable visionary, a speaker who could stir your very soul, a strategic thinker, a man who believed in miracles, a prolific writer, a truly remarkable fundraiser, someone who laughed a lot, who was also deadly serious, a friend of the poor and the powerless, a church founder and beloved leader, a modern-day prophet, a man of incredible faith, someone who could think God-sized thoughts, a man of the word and of prayer, a person of personal integrity, a faithful husband, loving father, and happy grandparent, an enemy the devil hated, for me, a loyal friend. My list is getting long, and it seems like I've hardly even started. I know I'm one of many whose tears continue to flow today. Thank you for a life well lived, my friend. Every day it stays with you. I'm just trying to put it all together still. Fortunately, we'll try it again next time we get together. Okay.
You've been listening to the Before We Go podcast. And if you would like to write to us, please send us an email at the following address, hosts@beforewego.show. That's all lowercase letters, hosts@beforewego.show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review, and share on whatever platform you listen. This podcast is copyright 2024 by Mainstay Ministries, Post Office Box 30, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187.